it was the most forceful and public pushback and articulation of what he's contending with in today's Republican Party. What do you think?
Well, I thought it was long. First of all,
it was long, not an opinion.
Yes. Well, it was long. It's true. Joe Biden holding an epic press conference yesterday. It was longer than the movie Bullet and a lot less interesting. Lunch Bucket Joe, it did remind me of, you know, the news media very impressed with his stamina, his vim and vigor. Vim actually means vigor, but where does he find such energy, such vitality? This is that he uses Vitalis too. Little pomade in his hair. Like corn pop, you know. Well, happy Thursday to you and welcome once again. We are, as you might expect, at 888-630-9625 if you would like to participate in the discussion today. I was reminded of the media's enthusiastic, exuberant, even fawning response to Joe Biden. Now, he didn't really say anything particularly intelligent other than, well, you know, if Putin invades Ukraine, and you know, if he just takes part of it, maybe we'll go to lunch and forget about it. It kind of depends on how much of Ukraine he rolls tanks on. And the media was like, yay, yay, he's such a great leader. And what stamina. What vigor. It's a pretty amazing thing. I was reminded, naturally, because who wasn't, of the old propaganda effort by the Chinese communists in the 1960s, where Chairman Mao Zedong, you remember him, the greatest mass murderer of humanity in the history of the world, and a great hero of the communist revolution. And he swam the Yangtze River at the age of 73, to show his vitality and his vigor. And the Communist Party came out and they applauded. And they had 5,000 Chinese communists swimming behind him like rats trying to get off of a sinking ship for a photo op so that Chairman Mao could come out of the river looking all vital. And they could say, because 73 years old, you know, it was older in 1966 than it is now. And there he was. What a brave and strong leader they had. And it was kind of like the same thing yesterday. Oh, and by the way, I looked it up again today, swimming the Yangtze River with 5,000 poor Chinese communists following. After the photo op, they drowned them all. Just kidding. I made that part up. But they, you know, they could have, and it would just be a footnote in Chairman Mao's history. It'd be no big deal. But yesterday, Joe Biden held a press conference nearly 2 hours long, and the media responded the same way as they did when Chairman Mao came out of the Yangtze River. And by the way, as I said, I looked it up today to refresh my memory on this communist propaganda photo op that half the world laughed at and the other half applauded. It turns out it was in Wuhan, that photo op of the Yangtze River. It was in Wuhan. They had the thing in Wuhan, which, as you know, is where the Wuhan Red Death comes from, which is why it's called the Wuhan Red Death, as everybody knows. So we got Lunch Bucket Joe yesterday with his very impressive Chinese propaganda victory of a two-hour press conference where he kind of gave a wink and a nod to Vlad the Impaler Putin if he wants to go ahead and impale Ukraine. It's not clear that Joe Biden would do anything, but there might be sanctions, and they'd last for a long time. You better look out for that. Because they'd really hurt this time, not like last time when, you know, Putin invaded the Crimean peninsula under Obama and Biden, and they didn't do anything. I think they sent socks and blankets or something to the Ukrainian military. Kind of an embarrassing gang of fake leaders we have in charge of the country now. But it makes Putin happy, and it makes the, you know, Xi Jinping happy, the Chinese communist leader, who is considered to be sort of the heir to Chairman Mao Zedong, the greatest mass murderer of humanity in the history of the world. Just want to keep reminding of that because it's true. Joseph Stalin is number two, and Adolf Hitler and his National Socialist German Workers' Party, number three in the pantheon of mass murderers, all in the 20th century. and all have the word socialist associated with them. Interestingly enough, kind of a coincidence, I'm sure. But in any event, we had Lunchbucket at Joe, and he said he doesn't know what the Republicans stand for. He's, you know, he's only been in Washington for like 75 years, and he doesn't know. He can't figure it out. And he has a secret password. He talked to five Republican senators. Five, I tell you. I'm holding up my hand, showing all five digits. And he said five Republican senators have come to him quietly and said they really agree with him, you know, about what he didn't say. But they're afraid that Trump will primary them if they agree with Biden on anything. So that's why they don't agree with him, because they're afraid of Trump. He didn't name Trump, but he said, you know, previous, like the other guy. He thinks he's all cagey and stuff. So we got some Lunchbucket Joe. He was in, I guess, rare form for Lunchbucket Joe. And I do think maybe this White House should be sponsored by Prevagen. You know, you see the TV commercials for that the pills you take that make your brain function better and your memory work better. Sounds like a good idea. You know, could work real well. It wouldn't surprise me if we came up with something like that. We're smart people. But I think Joe Biden might need it. You know, like John F. Kennedy used to have Dr. Feelgood follow him around with a hypodermic needle and inject him with all kinds of stuff. They said they were vitamin supplements, and also amphetamines and all kinds of other things to boost him. And oh, he had that back injury, and he did have a back injury. So they said Dr. Feelgood had to give him, you know, painkillers, and vitamin booster shots, and you know, and maybe some amphetamines. And maybe Joe Biden's got kind of the same thing. He was filled with vim yesterday. He was perky. He looked almost like he was on his game. A friend of mine, Pat, actually texted during the thing, said, Joe Biden's brain seems to be working better than usual today. And I did. I texted back an ad for Prevagen, because it should be the Prevagen White House. You know, like how Jimmy Carter's White House was. You remember what Jimmy Carter's White House was? It was the Preparation H White House. Remember that? They had the Preparation H truck out front and stuff. They should have the Prevagen truck out front and be a good ad for them.
Whoa, hang on, guys. We've only gone an hour and 20 minutes. I'll keep going. But I'm going to go. Let me get something straight here. How long are you guys ready to go? You want to go for another hour or two?
Such stamina.
Okay. I'm going to go. I tell you what, folks, I'm going to go another 20 minutes till a quarter of. Okay.
I'm going to go 20 minutes till a quarter of. Yeah, I actually went until about 10 of. He went for another 25 minutes. And really, it was like it reminded me of Mao swimming the Yangtze River in Wuhan. That's what it reminded me of. It was, and it reminded, well, a lot of it didn't remind anybody, because nobody remembers anything at NBC or MSNBC or CNN. They have no awareness of history or anything else. But they were very excited and clapping like seals that he went for so long. It's, you know, the analogies are just hanging out there, but I'll leave them alone. Also, in addition to Lunchbucket Joe and his remarkable Chairman Mao-like stamina and the media being so impressed with him, and a lot of stuff from the press conference yesterday, we've got a lot of other amazing stories. I think maybe the bigger stories are in the United Kingdom, in the Czech Republic. They're doing away with restrictions on the Wuhan, doing away with vaccine mandates, doing away with mask mandates for employment and for going into restaurants and stores and things. Once again, you know, the Europeans, once the Democrats realize that the Europeans are doing it, then they'll want to do it too. So this is good, because, you know, they have very small national appendage syndrome, and they whatever the Europeans are doing, they say, well, if the Europeans are doing it, it must be better than us, because, you know, they're European, and they're very impressed by that. Liberals are. I'm not, but you should listen to what they have to say. Boris Johnson, they're attacking him, the prime minister, the disheveled prime minister of the United Kingdom. He is undoing a lot of the mandates. You know how the left loves mandates. They don't care what you do as long as it's mandatory. And in the Czech Republic, and then Starbucks. That was the one that caught me by surprise, because, you know, they're a gang of lefties over there running the Starbucks thing. But lots of updates on that, and it's big news. It's serious stuff, honestly, that the Czech Republic, the UK, and Starbucks, which is kind of like a, country. It's probably got a GDP larger than a lot of countries around the world. And they have decided to change their policies, too. And I'm going to get into that because it's quite remarkable. At the same time, the United States Senate, perhaps you've heard of it. It's a terrible, corrupt institution. Stephen Colbert, we played the audio yesterday, thinks we should get rid of the Senate because they're not bowing to Biden. They're really authoritarian, these lefties. They're not liberals at all. They're lefties. And Stephen Colbert with us, he's a freakazoid. And I noticed some people catching up yesterday to where I've been on this for a long time. You know, he's not a comedian. They don't do comedy. They do politics. These are Democrat Party political hours, these late-night TV shows. Stephen Colbert probably leading the way with his mental instability and calling for the elimination of the Senate itself as a body because the Democrats are having a temper tantrum and stamping their feet like, you know, five-year-old children on the spectrum, which is pretty much where they are intellectually and mentally. And I'm marveling at all this stuff, but they, man, the Senate, they did something right. The Washington Post is very upset by this. Their headline, their lead story, in final clash, comma, voting rights bill fails in Senate. Well, it wasn't really the voting. They were trying to undo the filibuster so they could do this big voting rights thing strictly along party lines, which is not the way that you should change voting practices in the United States, strictly along party lines, because that's corrupt. Also, Joe Biden yesterday spent a certain amount of time undermining public confidence in our system of electing leaders. He, you know how they just finished about 10 seconds ago stamping their feet and being angry because President Trump dared to challenge election results, which as Stacey Abrams conceded in Georgia yet, or does she still think that she's the governor? Terry McAuliffe, who lost the gubernatorial race in Virginia recently, also still contended that the 2000 election was stolen in Florida. Remember the Supreme Court and the recount and 537 votes, and they only wanted to recount in strong Democrat counties, and they're, you know, they're corrupt and dishonest by any means necessary, by hook or by crook, hammer and sickle. And, you know, the Democrats have challenged every presidential election in the 21st century that they've lost. They didn't challenge the ones they won, you know, with Barack Obama, of course, and Joe Biden. But every presidential election that they lost, they challenged. And but that, you know, that's okay when they do it. But if Republican President Trump should do it, then that's totally unacceptable. It's the end of our republic and the end of democracy on the planet Earth. Just like if they don't get their phony baloney voting rights bill through, which apparently holds that black people don't have ID. That's the centerpiece of their whole thing there. But the Senate yesterday, they failed to, because Joe Manchin and Kyrsten Sinema, God bless them, they didn't bend and bow to the Democrats' craziness, so they wouldn't they couldn't undo the filibuster. Chuck Schumer, who you know, when the Republicans were in charge, he pounded the table and screamed and sweated and cried that the Republicans were going to destroy democracy by going around the filibuster until they're in charge, and then going around the filibuster is necessary. Otherwise, it's the end of our democracy. See how that works, don't you? These are corrupt people. Chuck Schumer is a corrupt person, a very corrupt person. And they tried anyway, but the Washington Post types today, Mike DeBonis, apparently his real name, because nobody would make up a fake name for themselves and call themselves DeBonis. Democrats unable to bypass filibuster. GOP opposition deals harsh blow to Biden agenda. Well, really, it was two Democrats. See, I'm with the bipartisan majority in this because we had Joe Manchin and Kyrsten Sinema joining all 50 Republicans in opposition. That means the vote was 52 to 48, right? And that means that the bipartisan side was the no side, and the party line side was the Democrats trying to go around the rules once again. And Stephen Colbert wants to eliminate the Senate because of it. But the late evening vote amounted to a bitter but unsurprising finale for the Democratic voting rights effort on Capitol Hill. We've got a real problem with voting rights in the country. You know, if you're a Democrat, that's okay. Now, President Trump, again, challenged some of the practices in 2000 and the presidential election, and you can't do that. But when the Democrats, and we got to take a break here, but when the Democrats and when Joe Biden, when they say that our elections, Joe Biden is poisoning the well going forward for the elections later this year. He's demolishing public faith and confidence in our ability to hold elections. And that's okay. The media is on board with that. That's good. Really what they're doing is they're setting the table, as I was saying yesterday, for the next round of Democrat Party riots, burning our cities, looting, attacking the police, burning police cars. You know, the standard Democrat Party practices. When they're angry about something, and they're always angry about something, aren't they? So you can see it coming from a mile away. It's Austin Powers and the Steamroller again. The Democrat Party riots when they're routed in the midterm elections, because Joe Biden is laying the groundwork here, setting the table for the next round of violent responses from criminal mobs of Democrats from coast to coast, which we've seen, I think, quite enough of. We are at 888-630-9625.
How many more hours am I doing this? I'm happy to stick around.
The countdown is on for the 2024 NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, live from Detroit, and you can attend in person for free.
Welcome to the NFL Draft.
See the next NFL stars and experience the ultimate NFL fan festival, featuring live concerts, interactive games, player autographs, and more. The NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, April 25th through 27th. Visit NFL.com/draft access to register for free entry today.
I tell you what, let's go to a telephone call before we get back to all the great stuff and the reversing course on vaccine mandates and all this good stuff. The world is changing. The left is not going to like this. Let's go to the telephones, Michael. Let's go to Howard calling from Manassas, Virginia. Howard, you're on the Chris Plant Show.
Yes, sir. I'm not joking. I mean, you know, for days before this event, they kept saying, you know, Biden is preparing whatever. I don't know how many days, 3 to 5 days. They had to rest him up, drug him up, build him up, do whatever they did. But obviously there's a lot of other things going on in the world. How many other things was he neglecting? And, you know, Trump would do a million things a day and be up at midnight tweeting, for better or for worse. Right. And, I mean, it's like the Energizer Bunny Trump versus the turtle who's on NyQuil with Biden. It's, you know, just ridiculous. And, you know, I think God, the good thing I see, Chris, is I think that a lot of the American people are starting to wake up. Many of us knew this would be a horrible administration, but you see that poll where X amount of Democrats or independents have now come over to the Republican. I just pray to God it stays that way this November.
Yeah, and I think chances are pretty good that it is going to stay that way, because the guy doesn't get it, and he doesn't get it, and the administration doesn't get it, and the White House Chief of Staff, Ron Klain, the guy they say is really the President of the United States, he doesn't get it. He's apparently the guy behind the everybody's a racist speech in Atlanta. You know, you're like an old-time Democrat. You're George Wallace. You're Sheriff Bull Connor. That came up yesterday, too. Yeah, and I think that the media is praising his performance and his stamina, like Chairman Mao. But it was another loser yesterday.
When you have sports mixed with your pop culture, along with humor and celebrity interviews, your earbuds are enjoying the Rich Eisen Show.
Kevin Millar, we're all paying rent in Ohtani's world, right?
And the Dodgers world. Game is healthy. Game is good. And, you know, I get asked a lot, is that good for baseball? Yeah, it's good for baseball. This is definitely the team to beat, because that should be your next question, Richie, is this World Series a bust for the Dodgers and Dave Roberts?
Hell yeah.
Search for the Rich Eisen Show on YouTube or wherever you listen.
We'll be right back. Yes. Yeah, the changes to COVID mandates. The Democrats don't like, what was the line in the Washington Post yesterday? Governor Youngkin banning mandates. Banning mandates. That's, pretzel logic right there. Kind of amazing. Banning mandates. They love mandating mandates. They wouldn't ban mandates. They like banning things, but not mandates. That's the thing about them. Absolutely crazy. And the party, you know, they continue to use the FBI as a weapon. It's beginning to, well, it's not raising any eyebrows in the media. J. Edgar Comey and lying to the FISA courts and using Hillary Clinton's opposition research as allegedly legitimate intelligence before the FISA courts to get warrants to spy on people. The international spy operation that was stood up by penitentiary face Brennan and J. Edgar Comey to go after George Papadopoulos, who is Azra Turk. And I got to tell you, this is one of the things. It's like a rosebud moment in the Trump presidency. If you can answer the question, who was Azra Turk, then we will have, broken the egg on this thing. Let's, Michael, let's go back to the telephones. And we're going to get to some Joe Biden. And we got the NPR phony story about the Supreme Court and masks. Nina Totenberg. You know, Nina Totenberg. Give away your entire family fortune to National Panhandler Radio, and they'll send you a Nina Totenberg. It's a trade-off that they think is worth making. Kind of amazing. Let's go to the telephones. Let's go to Dave calling from Rockville, Maryland. Dave is here. Dave, you're on the Chris Plant Show.
Good morning, Chris.
Hey, Dave.
I'll make this quick as possible, but I was watching The World at War, an episode of World at War the other day. The one that was narrated by Laurence Olivier.
Sure, you bet.
It was the episode on the rise of Hitler. Uh-huh. So really quickly what happened was the brown shirts managed to get some seats in parliament, but they were not anywhere near a majority. Typically in any parliament, as everybody knows, a majority picks the prime minister or in Germany's case, the chancellor. Well, they intimidated the parliament so much that they picked Hitler as the chancellor. And which meant the only person above him was a senile 80-year-old man, Bismarck, a hero, an icon in Germany. Well, right after Hitler was picked as chancellor, they had an event in the sports complex in Berlin, and one of the people to speak, who was not a member of the Nazi Party at the time, was Dr. Goebbels, who said that you need good propaganda and strong government working together to be effective, because if the government doesn't support the propaganda and the propaganda doesn't support the government, both of them are weak and worthless. And I'm paraphrasing here, he said to the Jewish press, if your lying tongues continue to oppose our edicts, we will lose our patience with you and you will pay a price. Now, a couple days after that, the German Parliament building, which is our equivalent of Congress, right, burned to the ground. Most people think to this day that it was the brown shirts who did it, but they pinned it on the communists, right, which allowed Hitler to go to Bismarck, the only person above him in the government. Hitler signed an edict which allowed Hitler to arrest and jail anybody he wanted to in connection with the attack on the parliament building. Several months later, Bismarck died and Hitler assumed the presidency as well as the chancellorship, and then it was off to the races. But right, when you compare the fact that Republicans generally practice nationalism, and both the Nazi Party and the Democrat Party practice tribalism, which is different people in the country have different value as opposed to everybody having the same value. And you look at the fascism, and I'm not talking about the Democrat voters, but the Democrat leadership and the woke right, the level of fascism that exists in that area today, I have to say to my fellow Americans, be very careful what you do when you vote. You don't want to vote Republican, fine. There's a lot of Ron Smith, the great Ron Smith, used to refer to it as the stupid party and the evil party. That's fine. Right. Vote That's independent. Right. But be really careful, because the parallels with history that we see right now are stunning.
Well, you're not wrong about anything that you've said, and we have essentially erased all memory of the history of the 20th century. And the documentary series, The World at War, is, I believe, narrated, as you said, by, good old Laurence Olivier. I think still to this day, the greatest documentary series ever made. No offense to old what's-his-name making, baseball on PBS and everything. But it is The World at War. I have it on DVD, actually. When it came out years ago, I bought it on DVD because I saw it at the Best Buy or something. I'm like, ooh, there it is, greatest series ever. And the parallels, you're right. I mean, the burning of the Reichstag. We still, there's a lot we don't know about January 6th when the Republicans take over, which presumably they will after the elections in November. They are promising to provide another investigation, like the Paul Harvey investigation into January 6th, for the rest of the story, because the Democrats, of course, have obviously politicized the heck out of January 6th, while completely ignoring, for example, the three-day siege that was laid to the White House. There are people who were, and the hundreds and hundreds of other riots across the country with the Democrats burning, sacking, looting courthouses, police departments, injuring thousands of police, while the media, corrupt media working on behalf of the Democrat Party, lied to us that they were mostly peaceful. You know, we're still selling mostly peaceful T-shirts and hats and things at the Chris Plant store, because that's, I think, the first thing we started selling there was mostly peaceful. And you're right that the parallels were, you know, what do we know about the FBI's involvement in January 6th? What do we know about, the scaffold commander who has not been arrested and charged, about certain individuals that were encouraging violence and have not been charged and not been arrested, but at the same time, hundreds and hundreds of people have been arrested. Mostly, you know, the guy with the horns on his head, the Viking guy, the shaman, he got more than 4 years in prison, and he walked through the Capitol, and he walked into the Senate chamber having a pleasant conversation with a U.S. Capitol police officer all the while. He didn't commit any acts of violence. He didn't break anything. He didn't steal anything that I'm aware of. What I said, did I say Bismarck when I meant Hindenburg? I apologize. I don't want to mix up my, German figures from the 20th century. That's for sure. Not Bismarck, but von Hindenburg. Thank you. Absolutely correct. And the parallels, this is essentially a socialist party that we have in the United States of America, the Democrat Party. And Hitler's party, of course, was the National Socialist German Workers' Party. So they were another socialist workers' party of the 20th century in Europe. And you do have to look out for parties that become too powerful. And this party, I've been talking about it for a long time, this party has a coalition, just as, Herr Hitler's party had a coalition with the big industrialists of the time that produced steel and airplanes and engines and locomotives and things. The Democrat Party in the United States today has a similar relationship with the big information oligarchs and billionaires, the Twitter and Facebook and Google people. Information is obviously the stock and trade of the day. It's the steel and the locomotive of the 21st century. And it is a dangerous time because of the flow of information. And as Dave was saying with Goebbels, Joey Goebbels, warning the press to carry their message and calling them the Jewish press, or else, now the left here says the right-wing press, or else. And they're, of course, not only threatening censorship, they're engaging in censorship through their proxies for the most part. But Joe Biden has also called on media organizations to watch out for that misinformation and disinformation. And that's a variation on the same theme that Dave is referring to. You know, the government has no place and the president has no place in the United States warning media organizations to watch what they say and watch what they report. President Trump pointed out that what they were reporting, very often was untrue, lies, fake news, you may recall. And now I think most of us, the press has an approval rating, the American people, strong confidence of about 7% of the American people. And I think that might be people that actually work for left-wing media organizations, which might be 7% of the population. And we've, Dave, thank you for the call. And keep watching The World at War. It's the greatest documentary series ever. And, World War II set the stage for for our lifetimes, for the 21st century. The 20th century, of course, set the stage for the 21st century, as you might imagine. And we seem to have forgotten so much about Chairman Mao and his vitality swimming the Yangtze River at Wuhan and what the National Socialist German Workers' Party really was. You know, what was it really? They were different than the Soviets, the Soviet socialists, but they were, not completely anomalous at the time or in the modern world. And we should keep all of that tucked away as we have discussions about what's going on today. You know, again, the abuses, thanks, Dave, the abuses of the FBI, of the CIA, altering documents. We caught the guy at the Justice Department. You know, we caught the guy. I think John Durham's investigation found the lawyer that altered the CIA document designed to incriminate George Papadopoulos. Or was that Carter Page? They're framing up and snaring their political enemies and using the FBI and the CIA and international operations and Hillary Clinton's opposition research before the FISA courts to get warrants to spy on their political enemies. And now we've got, there's another one, you know, using the FBI as a weapon. This is a very disturbing trend, and we've been talking about this on this show for a very long time. There is a Democrat congressman by the name of Henry Cuellar. Henry Cuellar is a Democrat from Texas, and he's not necessarily your perfectly typical Democrat in that he just speaks up against the Biden administration and the Democrats on occasion. Now, he's I think, a loyal Democrat. He's not switching parties or anything, but he's from Texas, and he's seen what is going on at the border, and he has spoken up about it, and he does not goose-step with them, the Democrat Party, on abortion. There's, let me do a couple of headlines for you. Abortion rights bill, colon, this is a Fox News story. Texas Representative Henry Cuellar, only Democrat to buck party in vote. He bucked the party in the vote. And that really upset them because you know how they love abortion and the harvesting the organs, not to draw any more parallels to the 20th century. Cuellar's Southern Texas district is one of the most heavily Latino districts in the United States. A minor but kind of interesting point. Henry Cuellar was the only Democrat to vote against his party's major abortion bill in the House of Representatives on Friday, continuing his centrist streak that's become very high profile in recent months. Between the migrant surge at the border, which he spoke up about, and the negotiations over the Democrats' massive spending plans. See, now here's a guy, a Democrat, that is not goose-stepping in line with everything the party is demanding. This is from September 24th of last year, so just a few months ago. So, and here's another headline from Pro-Choice America. NARAL Pro-Choice, big abortion group, denounces Representative Henry Cuellar for vote against Women's Health Protection Act. When they say women's health, they mean abortion. That's what they mean by women's health. But 51% of abortions would be of girls that would grow up to be women. But never mind that. That's not important now. Then yesterday, the story broke midday. FBI agents seize materials from home of U.S. Representative Henry Cuellar's Laredo, Texas home. Agency representatives stated federal agents engaged in a court-authorized law enforcement activity at the Laredo residence of U.S. Representative Henry Cuellar, a Democrat, you see. But he's a Democrat that does not march in lockstep with the party on all of their important issues. He's not supporting open borders. He doesn't vote in a knee-jerk way for every abortion bill that how many abortion bills do they need to bring up, honestly? I mean, isn't it kind of settled science at this point and law? It's going to go to the Supreme Court, but they keep having bills and votes on it because it's another divisive, polarizing issue, and women vote. And it's a winner, according to the polls, with women, of course. So the Democrats keep bringing it up over and over again in Congress, in the media, and beyond, because, you know, like race, it's a very polarizing issue, and that's what they like. They like the country to be, you know, we should all be at each other's throats, and many of us should be out rioting and looting and attacking police stations and federal courthouses and burning police cars and looting Louis Vuitton and all this stuff, except the Capitol. We now know we should draw a circle around the Capitol because that's out of bounds with the Democrats. Attacking the White House for several days, as long as you're Democrats, that's fine. And now here comes the FBI again. And who are they targeting? The one Democrat in the House of Representatives that sends a clear message to the rest. You know, it is a cannon shot across the bow of any other Democrat that might not goose-step with the Democrat Party on every issue, especially abortion and open borders. And Biden's spending, you know, Cuellar has not been subservient enough. He needs to demonstrate his fealty. And if that's not going to happen, well, then here comes the FBI. Wednesday afternoon, operations in Laredo, Texas, home of Congressman Henry Cuellar. Fascinating, huh?
Mike Carruthers shares little pieces of intel and interviews you can use to improve your life on the Something You Should Know podcast.
The next time you're looking for a job and have to write a cover letter, here's some advice from Skip Freeman, author of a book called Headhunter's Hiring Secrets. Add a P.S. to the bottom of that cover letter. That can actually increase the chances of that letter being read by up to 75%. Some people actually glance down and read the P.S. first.
Something You Should Know. Search on YouTube or wherever you listen.
Didn't the FBI invite CNN to join them on the raid of Democrat Congressman Henry Cuellar's house in Texas? Like they did with Roger Stone and the raid on the pre-dawn SWAT team raid on Roger Stone's house, sleeping in bed with his wife. And that was actually the third anniversary of that is coming up in 5 days. That was January 25th, 3 years ago, the pre-dawn FBI SWAT team bristling with guns raid on Roger Stone's house for a completely nonviolent crime. But then they let violent criminals go, the Democrats, you know. And, you know, Roger Stone and his family had bankrupted and harassed and attacked because he got in the political crosshairs of the Democrat Party, and so the FBI was loosed on him. I got to say that I think if you're Joe Manchin or Kyrsten Sinema, you should keep your eyes peeled. Pull down the Venetian blinds and take a look outside for a cavalcade of war wagons headed your way with FBI agents getting ready to raid your house, because it seems to be the pattern at this point, doesn't it? Yeah, it kind of does. I've got great stuff coming up. I can't wait to get to it all. But let's go back to the phones for the time being. Let's go to Leslie calling from Rockville, Maryland. Leslie, you're on the Chris Plant Show.
Hi, Chris.
Hi, Leslie.
Happy Thursday.
Thank you.
You know, it just occurred to me this morning, literally, like just when you started talking, the word mandate, everyone throws around all the time. I'm so sick of the word mandate. I like to go back 2 years ago when nobody was talking about mandates. But my question is, why don't all of the people that have trouble with the word man, like in freshman and policeman and fireman, so on and so forth, why don't they have a problem with the word mandate?
Well, that's a perfectly fair question, because you're right. They got rid of manhole, you know? Now, so you
right.
can't call, you know, like with a sewer cap on it in the street, that's not a manhole cover anymore, because they're... There are jokes there, too, but you're absolutely right. Mandate is the one word they don't seem to object to that has the word man in it, and it leads with man. It's not even policeman or fireman, as you said, which they want to ban all over the place. And what are they? They're long lists on college campuses and companies and stuff, banning everything that has any, if the M-A-N appear in sequence in any portion of the word, then that word has to be banned, except for mandate. Fascinating.
Yep.
Why do you think that is?
Yeah. I mean, you know, it's like, what do you always say about double standards?
I mean, were it not for double standards, liberals would have no standards at all.
I guess they think the word mandate's working for them, but, you know, I think that Biden's approval poll says it's not.
Well, they wouldn't. Yeah, that's a fact. And the Democrat Party, people, you know, Democrats fleeing the Democrat Party in droves. People that self-identified as Democrats when Joe Biden was elected. He is, you know, he's the greatest thing that's happened to the Republican Party, I think, in decades, with all of the people fleeing the identifier Democrat.
Named one of the best personal finance podcasts, The Stacking Benjamin Show with Joe and his friends makes financial literacy fun.
Work hard and save your money. That way, when you're old like me, you can buy the things that only young people can enjoy.
Squirrel watching.
You heard it here first. Get yourself a squirrel cam. Spend $30 a month on nuts, and you'll be at early retirement before you know it.
No, Piggy, this is the road to a podcast nobody listens to.
Find out more by searching The Stacking Benjamins podcast wherever you listen.